Today's Bible reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 19, and that can be found on page 755 of the Pew Bibles. The Call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" "I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north," I answered. The Lord said to me, "From the north disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kingdoms will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. Against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and rescue you," declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Call of Jeremiah. Some people have a great calling for things. Being a parent, a brain surgeon, an endlessly patient teacher, a principled politician. And then there's the rest of us, just getting on with our lives. Take parenting, for example. Some people have a calling, a gift, for passing on valuable lessons to their children, for bringing them up. I was recently reading a book that someone gave me, which is written by Ben Fogel, about his climb of Mount Everest a couple of years ago. And he was clearly a man, is clearly a man, who has a calling, a gift for bringing up his children. He wrote this rather impressive letter to them before he set off on what was obviously the perilous adventure. "Dear Ludo and Iona, life is about the journey, not the destination. Add life to your days, not days to your life. Dream, dare, do. Live for the now, not the then. Life is there to complete, not to compete. Although it will sometimes feel like a competition, don't get swept up by it. It's not a race. Be magnanimous in victory and graceful in defeat. Be humble and try not to grumble. Try to be the shepherd, not the sheep. Remember, you aren't just a face in the crowd, you're unique. Despite a planet of 7 billion, there is no one like you. People will be outrageous and provocative. Try not to be outraged or provoked. Don't live life through a screen. Live for bikes and hikes, not likes and swipes. Routine is far more dangerous than risk. Some days you will feel a little down. The highs and lows are human nature. Your life should be filled with light and shade. It's these things, these ups and downs, forgive me, that remind us what is important in life. Fortune really does favour the brave. Impressive words. Impressive communication with his children. Mine aren't quite so successful at times. Don't always hit the mark. Here's me trying to convey to my children the lesson to avoid selfish behaviour. Right, who's taking the phone charger again? Do I have to say every time people should just leave things where they find them? Here's me trying to encourage a little bit of modesty. You're not going out like that. Where is the rest of that dress? Now, it's clear that some of these admonishments do sink in because I get comprehending responses such as, at least I've got hair, Dad. Nor do my attempts to understand the slang, the lingua franca, go much better. We were having lunch yesterday with the youngest, and she's 12. She told me that she is currently single Pringle. If it's not immediately obvious to you what that means, it apparently means she's not in a relationship. Which didn't come as any news to me at all, because I have a very clear understanding with her that she's not going to be in a relationship because she's at least 21. Some people are cold for things. There's a great emphasis throughout the Bible on the concept of God identifying certain people and calling them to perform important tasks. Abram, Moses, David, Jonah. The Old Testament in particular is littered with people who were specifically and explicitly called by God to perform certain tasks. And Jeremiah was just such a character. Jeremiah, if it matters, is described as one of the major prophets. And we see in verse 5, the word of the Lord showing his calling. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was to play a very significant role, in fact, in the story of the children of Israel and indeed in Jewish history and culture. He is thought to have written not only the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, but also both volumes of the books of Kings. And he brought with him, somewhat reluctantly, the important message from God to the Israelites that unless they mended their ways, there would be the imminent sacking of Jerusalem, their holy city, by the Babylonians. And you will be very familiar with the fact that during this time, which went on for many, many years, God's chosen people were locked in a cycle of disobedience and distance from God. We see in the passage that Jeremiah was reluctant to take on the task, and that is a common feature of these Bible figures. They are often reluctant. Jonah, famously so reluctant, we know the story. But as far as Jeremiah was concerned, God required him to be a prophet. He required him to perform the task. He called him to the task, and Jeremiah did it. The idea of a special calling for certain types of service continues very much amongst us today as Christians. I was brought up in the Plymouth Brethren, so in an unusual setting in many senses. It was a world in which people were largely set apart from everyone else. One was discouraged from interaction with other people, except to proclaim the gospel, was the phrase often used. Going into what was called full-time work, had a certain kudos to it. Becoming a full-time preacher, living by faith, especially becoming a missionary, or even more exotically, a medical missionary, those were all things that were very important in that world. And in our church, amongst Anglicans, we also, of course, have the calling to go into the ministry. I shouldn't probably say this, but I rather remember as a child, I fervently hoped not to be called as a missionary, or indeed any role like that. It seemed rather daunting. And I see John's here this morning. John Blakely was the first person I ever met personally who actually wanted to be an Anglican vicar. And I remember we were sitting in a pub in Dublin having a pint of Guinness, and he told me very enthusiastically about his consideration, serious consideration. He really wanted to become a minister, and he was thinking seriously about it. He was being called. I thought it was slightly odd, and that a normal person would actually want to become a Church of Ireland minister. But anyway, and in a sense, that's part of our issue, isn't it? That some of those roles, those are very important things, becoming a full-time minister or going somewhere else in the world to do something important for God, working in a dangerous environment. There are things that we, to some extent, set aside. I very much include myself in that categorization. And we do, to some extent, that we separate the spiritual from the everyday. And sometimes when we're busy, or there are things going on in our lives which are difficult, it can be very easy for the spiritual side of your life to drift away, to fade away. And you feel a world away from considering being called to do something significant for God. And the Old Testament, in a way, is very different from the New Testament, because the Old Testament is full of these specially selected people who do specific tasks, very much individuals called by God. In the New Testament, there's very little trace of the idea that only a few people are chosen for special tasks by God. And even the people who are have a bit more earthiness to them. So Paul was a tent maker. People who were prepared to give up their lives to be killed for their faith. There are echoes in the New Testament of the idea that we are all somehow priests, ministers. We've all got a dog collar. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we see something else about calling which I find very encouraging. It's not just about the call to the special rule, but we see in that wonderful story that Jesus tells, the parable in John chapter 10, how we're all called. And he's addressing the Pharisees. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees. It's always great the way he addresses them so directly. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And then this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. He calls his sheep by name. And notice that it's not all about our agitation to try and practice our faith. Look how in those verses in that story that the Lord tells, how it's all about his actions, what he's doing. He goes into the pen. He calls. He brings them out. Not for a moment suggesting that there's no place at all for vocational ministry. Of course there is. But the concept of being called by God is not confined to those kind of rules. We are all called by name by God. From the most devout person here to those who always seem to feel they're struggling to get off the ground. From people who confidently display their faith as the very essence of how they live their lives, if anybody actually exists like that, but there may be people, to the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. That is how C.S. Lewis described himself on the day of his conversion. So wherever you fall in the spectrum, we are all called by name, by God. My father is a funeral director of all blessings, and therefore I know more than most about the funeral business. There is, on many gravestones in Northern Ireland, a lovely phrase, called home to be with the Lord, which is another type of calling towards the end of our lives. And I think a beautiful expression of the fact that in our salvation, that God has conquered death for us. So different aspects of the calling of God. You may be called to become a minister. You may be called to become a missionary. But whether you are ever called to that kind of task, we are all called by God to follow him. And when we get towards the end of our lives, we will be called home to be with him. And those are some reflections on being called by God and the call of Jeremiah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example that we find in your scriptures of landmark people like your prophet Jeremiah. We thank you that we can look to people like that as an example, and even in our own lives, as we try to live them for you, that we are called by you and will be called home by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.